Well, Chad, let's start out with, I guess, the big story in New England sports here over the last couple of weeks. The Patriots finally got their man. It wasn't much of a mystery, but the guy that I think everybody hoped they would get takes the job. Can this mean anything but good things for the Patriots?
No, I think it's probably the most cause for optimism, big picture wise, that they've had in a while, Rich. You have the quarterback. Certainly looks that way anyway with Drake May. And if he has a normal growth pattern for a young quarterback, he's going to be excellent. Mike Vrabel is a proven NFL coach. It kind of amused me as the conversation was going on about who they should bring in to replace Jerod Mayo once they fired Mayo, Ben Johnson or Vrabel. And I'm just pounding the table saying, don't you remember Vrabel ended Tom Brady's career here by outwitting Bill Belichick in a playoff game? I mean, he has nothing to prove to Patriots fans in terms of his viability for that job. So I was really happy they got him. I do think this is still a longer build than people realize. You look at the free agent list, there's some really appealing players there. T. Higgins, maybe, and Ronnie Stanley, a tackle for the Ravens we saw in the playoffs over the weekend. But, you know, it's you're not going to get all those guys, and it's not that deep. And it's going to take it's going to take time to build this roster up to where it needs to be. But with Mike Vrabel here, I think fans are going to be a little bit more patient with that. And, you know, they win 6 or 7 games next year and make progress. That will go a long way toward, you know, getting the Patriots back in everybody's good graces again.
I just think it's a good thing they didn't go the Bears route and interview, I believe, everybody who has ever coached football.
And some who haven't. Yeah. Eddie George has been at it, at Middle Tennessee for 2 years. And, they're bringing him in to talk. The poor Bears, I picked them to make the playoffs this year. They did not. I don't know if people noticed that, but they didn't make it. But now that the conversation may start to be in the next couple of years here with them, is this the franchise that passed up Patrick Mahomes and Jaden Daniels? That's a hard thing to live down to generational quarterbacks if Daniels keeps going in the direction that he's gone in as a rookie. But it's if you're a Bears fan, it's pretty discouraging to see what Daniels did and what May did for a very limited Patriots roster this year. And think you got the right guy with Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick, who was a no-brainer in that spot. And now it looks like he might be the third best guy out of the three.
Well, it's very easy to put all the blame on Jerod Mayo, and clearly there were some issues there, but I think there's some blame that can be spread around. It's not just some ineffective coaching that led to this awful season.
No, it's not. I mean, blame pretty much goes everywhere other than Drake May, who with all the maelstrom around him and the not exactly the A-list of coaches on that staff and very limited talent in his huddle on the offensive line and a wide receiver, probably exceeded what expectations were when he came into, when he came into the NFL as a rookie, because there was so much talk about the things that he needed to improve upon, and he did. And maybe that's a credit to Alex Van Pelt or somebody else on the coaching staff, but I tend to think it's a credit to Drake May's work ethic and just how dedicated and talented he is. So that was the real plus. Christian Gonzalez coming back and having an all-pro caliber season for a defense that really regressed otherwise was a great thing. But, it's just so much that went wrong or wasn't what you expected it to be. And some of that's just not having Bill Belichick's brain around anymore. But it was a discouraging season and one I think people just were very happy to put behind them and move on. And I felt bad for Jerod Mayo. Nice guy and a smart guy and a football lifer for sure, but he was in over his head. And to people who think he got fired unfairly, and there are some, I just ask, what did he do well? Because the things he was supposed to do well ended up being negatives. Communication, defensive coaching. He wasn't ready to be a head coach in the NFL, and it was painfully obvious as the season went on. And I give the Crafts credit for making what could not have been an easy decision for them, given their fondness for him.
We've talked with you about Tom Brady, and you've already said publicly you think he's a one-and-done guy. Now I see his I guess it's his agent or whoever is out saying, no, he's going to work the entire length of this deal. Is there anybody who believes that?
Yeah, Andrew Marchand at The Athletic seems to believe it, who wrote that story and had the quotes in there and was pretty confident that Brady's going to be back. And Andrew breaks a ton of news. He's a great reporter, but get back to me after the Super Bowl. That's all I say about Tom Brady. He's very involved with running the Raiders. There's a little bit of buzz around Foxborough that people know him there don't think he's going to be back, or have some skepticism that he'll be back. I'll put it that way. And he's obviously, this talk about him being back next year is just to stop the noise from people like me and Richard Deitch saying they're very skeptical that he will have a second season in the broadcast booth, given his involvement with the Raiders and the conflicts of interest that he already has. So once that Super Bowl is over, let's see what Tom Brady says and does about next year. I think he's going to be running the Raiders, and he'll be one and done in the booth like Mayo was on the sideline.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Speaking of the broadcast booth, you wrote about it recently in the Globe, but a good move by Nesson, putting Lou Maloney on the TV broadcast for a whole lot of games just to give poor Dave O'Brien some consistency, knowing who he's working with on a somewhat regular basis.
Yeah, Lou's going to do they haven't formally announced their broadcast teams for TV or radio. It's a little different this year because in the past, on the radio side, WEI had done the hiring and been in, basically been the primary decision maker with the Red Sox approval. Now the Red Sox have basically the games are still airing on EEI and all that, but the Red Sox have final say on everything. And so they're going to announce WEI and Nesson together. I thought they would do it at Fenway Fest. I've been told they would, and they pushed it back because they're still dotting some I's, crossing for some T's. It's been reported that Jackie Bradley, Rich Hill might be involved with things in a smaller manner. So I think they're working some of that stuff out. So that will be settled in early February. It's coming up pretty soon where they'll formally announce that stuff. But what I do know, just from my reporting, talking to a bunch of people involved with it, Lou's going to do about 100 games on Nesson. And I think that's really good, really good idea to have one voice that's regular and more familiar. And you have the consistency with O'Brien rather than the carousel of people that they've had the last few years, especially after Dennis Eckersley retired. So I think that's good. Lou will do a few on the radio too. Will Middlebrooks is going to have a really interesting role. He'll have days where he's doing the studio show on Nesson and then doing the radio broadcast with Will Fleming and then back to the studio show for a postgame on Nesson. So he's going to be involved in a big way. It's up in the air whether Kevin Youkilis does any. He's very busy with his brewery. I think we may hear him on the West Coast a little bit. We might hear Millar for the same 10, 15, 20 games a year when, they swing through Texas and things like that. But it's going to be mostly Lou and mostly OB, and I'm happy that they're going to have the consistency. And I think Lou's great on baseball and has some of the appeal that Remy does as a local guy, played for the Red Sox, got the accent you like, and really knows the game. And he's developed his sense of humor, especially in a self-deprecating way, has come out more in recent years. So I think this is a great fit. And I know Lou's really happy with the direction this is going for him, too.
I'm with you on that. Can it be good for baseball that the Dodgers seem to be signing every single big name free agent out there?
Yeah, it's not great, but you know what they need? They need a floor. The bigger issue with baseball is that teams like the Marlins, I don't believe, have signed a free agent this offseason, for instance. And they get $75 million from the, the revenue sharing. So they're taking in money and not spending it. And there are a lot of teams like this, Pittsburgh Pirates, Chicago White Sox, in a sense, teams that just don't reinvest that money in their ball club like they should do. They just pocket it. And if you give me a choice between what the Dodgers are doing, which is trying to sign every good player that they can, or what half a dozen teams in Major League Baseball are doing, which is nothing except collecting money, I'll take the Dodgers way. It's envy more than anything. I wish the Red Sox would operate like the Dodgers are.
We'll see what happens. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Chad, great to talk with you. It felt very much like it did doing radio, except that I'm here in my house and I'm at least a lot more comfortable.
I love it, Rich. It's great to talk to you again, and really excited to hear the podcast. This is going to be terrific.